Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Tarot of Empowerment Radio, where you can obtain tools to live to your highest potential with Judith Salt, who has over 30 years as an intuitive tarot reader, teacher, and healer.
Everyone, and welcome to today's show. My name is Judith, and I'm an empowerment coach, and I am here to answer your questions later on today. My guest, Stephanie Arwin Lynch, and I are going to do some readings for you when you call in, and we're all excited about being able to share some information with you. I am so happy to say that the Tarot of Empowerment book is at the editor, and we are going to have it out and ready for the Northwest Tarot Symposium, which is the weekend of March 6th through 8th. And boy, there is just a terrific lineup of different teachers that are going to be coming, and I hope that any of you that can make it to the Tarot Symposium will do so. It looks like it's going to be a really good show. We're going to, like I said, we're going to be taking questions toward the end of the show, but I have something kind of exciting to announce. You know, every time I do a reading, I get a little bit frustrated because here I have this beautiful deck and these beautiful cards, and you guys on the radio can't hear it. And I keep sending you to tarotofempowerment.com, which is the website that shows off all of our cards. Again, today I invite you to go there. But I just got some exciting news. We are going to be going live on TV, and it's on an internet TV program, and I'll have more information for you about that next week. We'll have the date set up. I think probably I'll do the radio program at least one more time, and then we'll transfer over, and we'll be doing it on TV so you can hook up to the TV on your, comes on a YouTube station. You can hook up to it that way, or you can listen as you have been listening on the radio. But I'll finally be able to show you in person as I'm drawing these beautiful cards. And my guest will also be able to be on the program, and they will, I don't know quite how to explain it, we'll each be present on the screen, even though we won't be in the same place, but we will be present on the screen. You'll be able to see my guest as well as me, and that's very, very exciting. I'll keep you updated as we go along. So, Arwin, welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm very pleased to be here.
Well, I'm so thrilled to have you. Arwin is out of Austin, Texas, and what is it? I understand the cedar pollen is going like crazy right now.
It is.
What is the weather like there now?
Well, today it was about 75, I think was the high. I saw a gal at the grocery store in shorts and a tank top. So, and it was down in the 30s last week. It's very up and down this time of year. But it's, you know, it's beautiful. Texas is a beautiful, beautiful place.
Austin is pretty. I have been there, and I don't really consider it quite Texas. I don't know whether that's my Northwest prejudice or not, but I actually like it. It's a very pretty city. My son and his partner participate in the South by Southwest most years.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's always fun, too. Yeah. you really get overtaken then. So
we
Arlen, go ahead.
I was just agreeing that yes, South by Southwest is the time of year most of us who live here try to avoid the main highways.
I'll bet. I'll bet you get a lot of nice music that it would be probably in your best interest to walk to it.
Yeah.
Well, Autumn Wynn has, I have been following her for quite a while. I've been following her newsletter, and you can sign up for her newsletter at Tarot by Arwen, is that correct?
Yeah, .com.
TarotByArwen.com. You can go there and sign up for her website. And what intrigued me is she has a book called Mapping the Hero's Journey.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about tarot exactly. It
no.
is about writing. So tell
uh-huh.
us some about this book, because I just found it fascinating.
Well, that book is actually an e-course. It's a 33-day e-course that you sign up for, and it comes to your mailbox each day. There's writing prompts. There's chapters. I've used tarot for writing for, wow, feels like forever. But my writing partner and I will do hero's journeys for our characters. And she's not a reader. She says she's not a reader, but trust me, she's really good with tarot. But I teach writers how to use tarot as a writing tool, and rather than as a divination and I use tarot mostly for introspection. But I tell people, lay the cards out and tell the story it tells you. You know, you may pull the Six of Earth or the Six of Coins, and that may say one thing to you. And when you look it up in the book, it doesn't match what you're thinking. And people, you know, I tell them, put the book down for this exercise. This is not
uh-huh.
about being right or wrong. It's simply about connecting with your story, using tarot basically as mini vision boards.
Uh-huh. So give me, do you have people draw like three cards?
Mm-hmm. It really depends, Judith. It depends on what we're doing. I have a couple of three-card spreads. One's called the cocktail spread. And you imagine that you're taking your character. Yeah, you're taking your character to a cocktail party, and you have to introduce them. And cocktail parties, if you're on Twitter, they're a lot like Twitter. They're fast. The conversation flows. You need to get in, hit it, and quit it. And so that's what we do. We draw three cards, and it's what does your character do for a living, what is your character's strength, and what is your character's quirk. And all characters need quirks. You don't want a perfect hero. Indiana Jones would have been boring as snot if he hadn't had some quirks, you know. He was scared
that's right.
of snakes. Shrek, he has flaws, and he's a hero. Another is an Avatar, Jake Sully. So there's looking at people, and one of my favorite characters to point out to people, you have to be of a certain age, is if you remember Sam, the bartender from Cheers.
Right.
You know, he was a womanizer. There were a whole bunch of things about that man, but he was an alcoholic. Who thought of a bartender who's an alcoholic?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So it was a great character quirk. And that's what I teach people who take my class, is to think beyond. And tarot really is just another tool, right? It's just
exactly
you draw,
right.
You know, if I'm thinking about writing a book and I draw Judgment or Awakening, well, I could have my character first event be a near-death experience.
And let me tell the audience, when Arwen is talking about this, she's not only talking about it as an exercise program. She has published 6 books?
10.
10 books. And so she knows from experience what she's talking about. Now, when you said you have a writing partner. Do you and your writing partner work on all of the books? How do you write with a partner?
That's a whole subject unto itself. Kay and I have been friends since we were 15, 16 years old. So we've actually been friends now longer than half our lives. But she'll write something. Generally, she starts. She's a great starter. And she'll start, and she writes, and then sends it to me. I read what she wrote. I edit. And then I write after what she wrote. I just keep writing. Then I send it back. She reads
so
what
don't
I wrote.
Outline, you don't outline the story?
Very rarely. We are not very good plotters. There's plotters and pantsers. That's writing by the seat of your pants. And we pretty much are pantsers. I find that I like having some type of idea of where we're going. That's one of the reasons we use the hero's journey, because there's very clear steps. You don't have to have them all in the same order. But Joseph Campbell, who wrote Hero of a Thousand Faces, knew what he was doing. And then Christopher Vogel took Joseph Campbell's work and streamlined it, tweaked it, made it more specific to the craft of writing. And those are two books that I recommend in my class. You get a bibliography in this class. It says, here are books I think you might like, you know, and here are tarot decks that you might like. I don't tell anybody what tarot deck they must use, anything like that. You know, because it's all about your imagination and how you, what the story is you see in the cards.
Okay, so let's do this. I'm using Major Arcana only because I'm using Tarot of Empowerment. So, almost dropped my computer. So the first card I drew was the Quester. So that would represent the, remind me.
Well, we'll let that be, there's the job, the strength, and the quirk. We'll let that be the job.
Okay, the job. So we have the Quester, we have the Fool. He's looking for a job, perhaps.
Or he's somebody who trains other people to do jobs, so he's always in a new job.
Okay. Excellent.
Yeah, that's another way to look at it. Yeah, so you kind of... You kind of brain map, if you're familiar with that. You know, you write down your first thing and then start thinking, what else could this be? You know, he could be a travel agent who never gets to travel.
Mm-hmm. Or he could be a travel agent who's always traveling. He's got his backpack on and he's, walking through the doorway to the unknown. So he always goes to new places.
Right, right. So you can see how just one card gives you three different ways you could have gone.
Right.
And the next card would be their strength. This would be what people look to them for or what they depend on themselves for.
And this one is Wheel of Fortune.
Huh. Luck. He depends on his luck. He lives by the seat of his pants. That's a perfect card for the Fool and a traveler.
and always moving. Always circling, always going, always changing places, because the Wheel of Fortune is always moving.
Right.
Interesting. Yeah. And then the last card represents the Quirk. Oh, let's see. So far, he sounds kind of quirky to me already. The Quirk is chaos. And in the traditional deck, that would be the Tower. So he brings mischief wherever he goes.
Mm-hmm. Or you could also turn it around and say that his quirk is he hates disorder. Even though he's a drop of a hat travel guy, he wants everything to fall into place, which makes me go back and think maybe he's a tour guide. And so his quirk is how he reacts to when tours don't go right. That may be his...
Right.
What ruffles his feathers.
And it could also be now, maybe he's a spy.
Mm.
And he goes and, the situation is always changing. And he sneaks in and blows up the foundation, the structures that are around, to try and bring enlightenment to the people by destroying what they already have.
I like that. Yeah, because
well,
that gives him, it gives him a lot of roundedness. And there's somebody who said that you want to make your hero somebody that your women readers can fall in love with and your male readers will want to be friends with, or if they're gay male readers, they'll want to fall in love with him too. And the female
uh-huh.
should be somebody your female readers want to have tea with or lunch with, and your male readers want to fall in love with her.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of a way to kind of keep yourself focused on what is it you're trying to do when you write. I just read a quote today by Colette, the famous author, and it said, anyone can write. You put your story down on paper, you're a writer. It's those people who can look at what they've written, get rid of half of it, rewrite the rest. They're authors.
That's right.
And it's very true. Stephen King said you have to be able to kill your darlings, kill your little darlings.
Yep.
So his autobiography is something I highly recommend. Anybody that wants to write fiction should read his autobiography. It's brilliant.
Oh, that's great. How did you get interested in tarot, Arvin?
In tarot? Oh, gosh. When I was about 12 or 13, I was doing a lot of occult stuff, like Yi Jing. I was collecting popsicle sticks to make yarrow bundles, doing astrology. My mother took it all away from me. She thought it was inappropriate for a young girl. But I went to college, and a dear friend of mine did a reading for me, and it was so accurate. And she used the Thoth deck. And then she ended up giving me the Thoth deck, which was very lovely,
oh, wow.
A lovely gift. But I didn't connect with that deck. You know, I did not, the deck didn't speak to me. It didn't work for me.
Right.
So it took me a few years, and I got my first real reading deck was Tarot, the Herbal Tarot by Michael Tierra.
Yes.
And it just really, I still have that original deck. I have that deck that I first started with. So, but I guess it was in college, and it intrigued me. And from there, I began studying Wicca, or the craft, and
uh-huh.
I was told by my teacher that I needed to have a divination method. And I thought, well, gosh, I can't do astrology because I don't like math. I'm sure Janet's laughing at us now. But I thought math is hard, kind of like Barbie. And I went and looked at tarot again, and that's when it clicked for me, and I started reading professionally. Whoa. 85, 86, somewhere in that area. And it's just been an ongoing love affair since. I tend to stick to one deck when I'm doing readings. I tend to have one deck. I call myself a serial monogamous with my tarot. But I
uh-huh.
own close to 300 decks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. It always surprises me when I teach a class, and a lot of times in my beginning class, almost always there are people that have 15 or 20 decks and they don't feel like they know how to read yet, and trying to learn how to read. And it's the images are so compelling in a lot of the decks. And I think that so many times, I love the idea of mapping the hero's journey. Because so many times you get people that are looking at the pictures and you know they just want to tell the story. They want to understand. And all of these decks, all of these books do tell stories. It's magical. I just think it's magical. I just love them.
And I love doing the Tarot for Writer. I used to do workshops, and I would have generally a pretty 50-50 split on tarot readers that wanted to be writers and writers that wanted to learn how to use tarot. And it was really neat because they would start helping each other in the classes.
Yes.
You know, and it was this real natural, organic community that would sprout up. And I really enjoyed that. I stopped doing them because they were really taking up a lot of time. So I decided to do the e-course because now we have a little Facebook. And if you take the e-course, you get invited to the Facebook. So you can interact with people that way, too. So it's not like just a sterile, here's your email, see ya.
And I noticed in one of the newsletters that you sent out that you're considering doing webinars. Have you made a decision about that?
Wow, did I get response to that? I got an overwhelming, yes, please do that. So I will be doing that. I'm not sure when. My friend David Rosenhaus, he's the rock and roll oracle creator. He and I are talking about doing some webinars together. He's a fascinating man. Gosh, he's so cool. And I love his deck. I don't know if you've seen the Rock and Roll Oracle or not, but it's just a great deck.
I haven't. I'll look it up.
Yeah, he did one of the crowdfundings, and that's how I met him. So I'm definitely going to do webinars. I just have to find time to research.
Yeah, that sounds great. And I think one of the things I've been I have considered doing has been doing a webinar. And when I was teaching at the community college, political science there, and I did the online teaching, and it just seemed to take so much time. It took a lot more time than a stand-up class did, and so I haven't quite gotten past that. But I'm going to be very interested to hear how it goes with you and with your webinars. And certainly a lot of people are doing them.
Yes.
And I'm sure seeing the other kinds of things that you're doing, that you would definitely do it very well. So I look forward to seeing that.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
So you said,
well, you go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was going to say, you said you taught political science. Do you know that was my major in college?
No.
I was a poli-sci history double major. I sure was.
I was, yeah, I had poli-sci history and education were my my graduate degrees and then with an emphasis on international education.
Oh wow, very cool.
Yeah, that was before I decided that I really that it's so many lifetimes between there and here, where what I'm doing now is just my esoteric work, and it's been very liberating. It's really been nice.
Yeah.
We have a couple of people that are in line for a reading. Let's go ahead and see if they want to have a story or a reading. So,
okay.
Janet, if you could put Erica on the phone.
Hi.
Hi, Erica. How are you?
I'm doing well. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
It's never too late. It's still January.
That's right. That's right. How can we assist you today?
Actually, I'm curious. You said whether you wanted to do story or tarot reading. What's the, you know, what would the story consist of? I'm curious about that.
Well, are you a writer? This is Arwen.
I don't consider myself a writer. I am working on an ebook. I'm kind of like dragging my feet because I don't really enjoy writing, but it's something that I'm working on. So, I mean, so either one could really help me.
Well, that's interesting. Arwen, do you get that a lot? I know the first thing I said was before we were on the air to Arwen is that I finished my book. The book is at the editor now, and that it isn't a very easy task for me to write. Do you hear that a lot from people?
Not really from fiction writers. From nonfiction writers, I do. They seem to, it seems to be more of a chore. Fiction writers generally, just the ones I know, we like telling stories. We love to get it on paper. And then we struggle with, you know, sagging middles, talking heads, getting the plot holes showed up so you can't, like, drive a truck through them.
Right.
But I find that fiction writers tend to really have a need to tell the story.
Oh, I'm not writing.
Somebody,
yeah.
Yeah, but nonfiction is much different. I'm working on a book version of my class, and it's brain draining. But I use a program called Scrivener, and it really helps me move between my chapters and track what I'm doing. So it's been very helpful.
Okay, great. Well, let's go ahead and help Erica out.
I'm getting some background noise.
I'm getting some background noise from somewhere there.
Can you still hear it?
Okay, so Erica, how would you frame your question? What is it that you would like to know at the end of this reading?
Okay. I guess my question or my guidance would be in terms of what the next step I should be thinking about professionally.
Okay.
Oh, that's an easy question, right?
Yeah, right. I like the way that you phrase that because it is a call to action. So what is my next step? What do I need to do? And I like that. Erica, do you want to go ahead and do this reading?
Sure.
Sorry.
That's okay. Erica, I'm going to
have Erica read for herself.
Right? I'm going to pull three cards. I'm going to pull the base or the theme of the question, and then a card that will help the energy and a card that hinders the energy. And you get the world as your next step. So you're kind of right now at the verge, at the precipice. If you feel like you're fixing to step off a cliff and you really don't know what's next, it's a good thing. There's a lot of expansion. Look for things that are going to make you feel expansive. Look for Jupiter-influenced things. Jupiter is a planet of expansion. And this is about growth, big, scary, oh, my God, can I really do that kind of changes. So this isn't about, you know, should I change my desk? Should I feng shui my office? This is truly about, you know, do I rename myself? Do I rebrand my business? That kind of big, huge change. The world also has the companions here. There are four creatures. I read with the Gaian Tarot. And in this, we have four animals. So they can be the archangels. There's very different things they can be. But this, generally, I tell people, look for the three people who always help you and look for the trickster in your life because they're going to have a hand in moving you forward. But this energy around your question, it's like very present, very now. This isn't a question you're asking about for 6 or 8 months down the road, is it?
No.
This is like boom now.
Right.
I pulled two cards. I've got one in my left hand, one in my right hand. Which card do you want me to look at for your help card, left hand or right hand?
The left hand.
Okay. The Two of Earth. That's a card that says you may have to do two things at once. You may have to continue to multitask. A dad is looking at vegetables here, but he has twins. On one side, there's a crying, angry baby that's actually flipping you off if you look at his little hand. And the other baby's very calm. And we tend to focus on the crying baby, right, because we want to soothe the baby, get the baby quiet. But sometimes when you're looking at what your next step is, if you have two projects, don't ignore the easy one. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the hard one's going to take some energy and time, but don't neglect the easy one because it could turn into crying baby in a heartbeat.
Right.
Now, the Hinder card, that's interesting. You're not a Sagittarius, are you?
No, I'm a Virgo.
Okay. Because here's the Eight of Fire, the Eight of Wands. This is the card of busy, busy, go, 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 do, do, do. It's actually a card that says what's going to hinder you in terms of moving forward, in terms of activating this next step, is overtasking yourself, multitasking too much. I just said you have to do two projects, right? And then I'm turning around and saying, but don't overdo it. So thanks, Arwen.
No, it makes sense, though.
And it's also, there's another energy around this card that tells me if you think you have to move in order to make this next step, I would ask you to reevaluate that. Because that's the card of rapid movement, and it's on the hinder side. So there's some things that you may want to re-examine before you pack your bags and throw them in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does that help? Does it get to where you're...
No, I think that helps because the thing that has been holding me back has been that I work 6 days a week and I don't really have any free time. And I spend every moment that I'm not working or sleeping doing something.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
well,
so
I
could see that.
Yeah.
And Erica, with the card that Arwen pulled, I would add to the world card that as you're getting ready to step off of the world or the precipice, it's partly because you're complete with what you've already done. So mm-hmm. the work that you're doing now really has for you come to an end of its cycle. It is complete. You've learned everything that you can learn from that.
Oh, I think that as well.
And this juggling for the two of Earth, that juggling that needs to be done is something that is going to be necessary for a while, but not to the point of exhaustion. You know, give up some other things outside of what you do in order to be able to juggle that energy while you can. Just even going out and looking for a job and creating a resume and doing all that takes an awful lot of energy and an awful lot of effort. The card that I pulled for you as kind of a culmination card is determination. And that is number 7, the Chariot in the traditional deck. And determination is that fast, rapid change and being in control. And it was in a reverse position. So it tells me that you're not feeling in control right now. You can get control, but you need to take a deep breath, pace yourself, and do a plan of action. Erica, do you read tarot by any chance, or do you have a tarot deck?
I don't read tarot. I do have a pack of Rider Tarot cards.
Rider Waite.
And actually, I might actually have another set. I can't kind of remember. I was teaching myself a while ago, and then I kind of got sidetracked.
What I would suggest is that you do Arwen's exercise and write your story. draw three cards to write your own story about changing professions and what to do next. What do you think of that, Arwen?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea because you can, you know, reading tarot is just telling the story to yourself. So, you know, lay the cards out and remember when you read the book that symbols don't mean the same thing to everybody. I harp on this because I love dogs. I have two that are being amazingly good right now. I'm really surprised they haven't tried to do something awful while I'm on the phone. But I have a friend who doesn't like dogs. She doesn't care if they're tiny, tiny Chihuahua puppies or great big Great Danes. She was bitten by a dog as a child, and she has an irrational fear. So the dog as loyal companion doesn't work for her. Use your story to tell the story of the cards for yourself.
That's actually a very remarkable way of doing it. I'm just thinking, I have other cards. I have like Doreen Virtue, but angel cards, though.
I use both of the decks. Use the one to write the story and the other to find out who's going to assist you, the angel deck, who's going to assist you. One of the things I love, in fact, the main thing I love about tarot, it gives you a new perspective and a new way of looking at the world.
Yeah.
And the reason I really resonate with Arwen's mapping the fool's journey is because it is another way of getting that new perspective. I love it. The whole concept that we can write our own stories. And if they don't, and they can be fiction, but they can also, this is what I want to create. And you ask your angels and guides, show me what to create. Help me write a story. Okay. So you have some homework, Erica.
Give
us a call back and let us know what's going on. And get Arwen's newsletter at Tarot by Arwen. And A-R-W-E-N.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay?
Awesome. Thank you both. I appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you, Erica.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was fun. Let's
see.
We have another person that would like to have a reading is Sue on board.
Yes, hi, thank you.
Hi, how are you doing today, Sue?
I'm doing good.
Where are you calling from?
Long Island.
Oh, okay.
Hey, I've got relatives up that way.
We made a nice little triangle there. So what would you like today?
Just a reading.
Like to know? Okay, and is your area of interest or concern? What's on your mind?
I guess love life.
Okay, and what about it? How to have one? How to?
Well, I'm on a date. I'm going on another date on Friday. Plus, I like someone from the past. I don't know, just what you see with everything.
Okay. Arwen, go ahead and do this reading if you'd like, and then I'm also going to pull some cards over here
to
go along with you.
So kind of what I'm going to do is kind of open it up to just what do you need to know about love in your life, and I'm understanding you say you're looking for a relationship that has legs, it's going to last. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's get in here and do this. And the first card, the theme is the Magician. The Magician in this deck is super sexy. He's a drummer. He's playing the djembe. I mean, he's super fun. But he's also got the hands of the ancestors behind him on the walls, all the hand paintings. And that's the first thing that jumped out at me. Make sure as you're approaching relationship, as you're looking into relationship, that you're going into it for yourself and not to fulfill someone else's expectations of you. Does that make sense?
No. What do you mean?
Well, when the ancestor hands show up to me and when they're the first thing that I look at, that makes me feel like family and patterns of relationships are kind of what are influencing you, if you will. And the Magician is a card of awareness and self-will. You know, his phrase is, I will. He's got all the tools he needs, but the ancestor hands back there, you know, he's still playing to them. He's still letting family and expectations of his wife be, I'm not sure if I'm getting the word right. Just jump in if you can hear what I'm trying, what's not coming out of my mouth. The Magician is a card of creation, right? It's a card of making it happen, making things for yourself.
He's an expert manifester. He can create, because that's what he is all about, is creating, making it happen.
But I'm getting a negative on this. I'm getting a bit of, don't let, when you approach a relationship, when you go to on a date, don't go on the date with the idea of, you know, which the first date, the second date, of how will I feel about this person in 30, 40 years? You know, take some of that onus off yourself. But the Magician's a good card because you've got a lot of the tools here that are necessary. You've got a lot of the power yourself. Just make sure you're channeling the power for what you really want and not for what somebody else might have. You know, when we were growing up, our parents always had visions of what they wanted to be. I am pretty sure that my mom, may she rest in peace, did not see me reading tarot on a radio show. That was probably not one of her choices for her daughter. You know, teacher, married with five kids by this point and grandkids. So make sure when you're making your manifestation, when you're putting your will into this, make sure it's your will and what you want and not what somebody thinks you should have.
The other thing about the ancestor hands on Joanna's deck or on that reading, the Gaian deck, is you mentioned you're attracted to someone else too. And it's like you're taking that handprint with you. So it's present in your other relationships or your other attempts to have relationships. And so dealing with your emotions around that and the baggage that you still have from that old relationship is something important for you to look at.
And I do have the help hinder cards here. So give me left hand, right hand, which is your help card, which is your hinder card?
I guess I'm a lefty, so left.
Okay. Ah, the Wheel of Fortune. You've got some opportunity here, hon. You've got some ability, some things happening. I tell people that when this card shows up, I tell them the carousel and the merry-go-round. The carousel and the merry-go-round have different contraptions. A lot of people don't know that. One of them has cars that move. One of them has things that go up and down. That's what makes them different. Both of them. Are you familiar with the brass ring and how to get the free ride?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to stretch. You got to lean out. There's something with this opportunity that you're going to have to put yourself out there a little bit. And the hinder card is the Ten of Fire. There's a lot of clutter right now. The Ten of Fire or the Ten of Wands is, it's generally you see the guy with, he's got a bunch of sticks on his back and they've just fallen because he just tried to pick up one too many sticks. Don't over stress about this. Don't overthink it. You know, don't worry so much about the right choice, understand that the opportunity that's coming is yours, because as the magician, you've got the tools to create the relationship that's going to work best for you.
Okay. So does that mean, like, date and see what happens?
Yeah, that's what I see in this is, and put your energy into what you want. You know, if your perfect lover is, don't think of, I tell people when you do manifestation work, don't say, I want John or I want Judy. Say, I want somebody who's got, you know, who makes me laugh. I want somebody who, you know, doesn't mind me burning the rice once in a while. Kind of the properties of a partnership rather than the actual person.
Yeah, think about what kind of behaviors. The other thing when you're wanting to manifest the perfect lover for you is, how does that person make you feel? Does a person make you feel happy? A lot of times we assume, because we want to feel a certain way with our partner, that everybody must want to feel that way. You know, I want to feel loved. I want to feel happy. I want to feel whatever those properties are. But they don't. And the different priorities, maybe for someone, it's I want to, their top priority is I want to feel safe. Someone else may say, I want to feel adventuresome. And so think of how you will feel with the perfect partner. And that partner doesn't make you feel that way, but you are able, you fall into feeling that way when you're with the right person.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. And on my website, judithsult.com, J-U-D-Y-T-H-S-U-L-T, if you look under articles, I have an article about words of power. It's called Words of Power, and it's a manifestation, how to manifest. There is one power, the perfect power I call on, blah, blah, blah. And you're welcome to go to that, to my website and download those words of power also. But it, but think about what it is that, how it is that you want to feel, and the worst thing that anybody can do is to manifest a particular person, and then you know, they've energetically called them into their life only to find out they're the worst person in the world for them. So be real careful about that. And what was that third card? Arwen.
The third card was the Ten of Fire. Traditionally, it's the Ten of Wands, and it's the card of overdoing and too much passion. Fire is a passion and energetic, so it's about putting too much energy in, which sounds kind of strange. But it's about backing off a little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, beware of coming on too strong with a date. Go out and have fun and do things that you enjoy doing, and maybe get out of your comfort zone a little bit and try some new things when you're out there and going out and doing things, or trying new places to meet people and see if that doesn't work. But having both that combination of cards really indicates that there's a lot going on, but my sense of the energy around that too is that you're coming on real strong when you're in relationship. Maybe too strong, either as I like, I don't like you kind of thing, this immediate response that may not be fully informed. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, so just go on dates and have fun, and that's about it, I guess, and wait and see.
Yeah, you sound so sad when you say that, though. And have fun. Have fun. Really enjoy yourself. And find out, what is it that makes me happy? What is it? How do I have fun? What do I do to have fun?
I have had fun. You know what it is I've been out dancing, this and that, and singing a long time. Now I'm more interested in the family life and stuff. And, you know, even taking a walk with someone, having dinner, that more than just fun, fun, fun.
Well, and your interest is in family life, then that is fun.
Right. So it's more, that's what I'm saying. Like when you said go out there, I've been going to dances, this, that, for years and years. I'm just interested in now just having a companion.
Yeah. Well, use those words of power and see what you can pull into your life that will help you to manifest it that way. And you're welcome to give me a call back and give me a report down the road, and I'll pass the information down to Arwen.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, and you can email me, anyone that's out there that has a question, can email me Judith, J-U-D-Y-T-H, at judithsult.com. That's S as in Sam, U-L-T, like in consult. And Arwen, did you have an email address you wanted to give out?
Sure, it's readings, like reading a book with an S on the end, at tarotbyarwen.com.
Okay, great. Do you interpret reverse cards, Arwen?
I do not.
And how do you deal with them?
I don't read reversals. I get a lot of energy. I do. I am a psychic reader, an intuitive reader. I go with what the information hits me. And generally, I'll tell people that I can have the magician show up for five people and have five different answers for people based on the energy I get, and I don't know any better way to say it. My clients know that I will just kind of babble information at them, and they have to stop me and say, Arwen, it's enough. But yeah, I used to read reversals, and a student of mine some years back challenged me to try not reading them. And I keep telling her name's, I call her Pixie. I keep saying she ruined me because now I don't read them at all.
Well, I find with reversals that a lot of times it's an internal process that's going on. And so it is something that isn't out at the forefront, like when the cards are in an upright position. It's not negative. It's just kind of this is what's going on inside. And I found them very useful a lot of times when I'm working with people. And as soon as I'll say something like, I see this going on inside for you, like the determination card that was in a reverse position. And the person very often will recognize right away, oh, that's right, that I'm processing this and I'm working on that. And I found it to be helpful that way. So that's kind of, do you create your own layouts and your own spreads, or how do you deal with that?
I've been designing spreads for probably 15 years now. And I've actually moved away from, I do what we've been doing tonight, where I do a theme card, Hal Pender. We talk about those three cards. And then we either go deeper into it, and we'll look at the help or the hinder or the theme, which card do we want to use as the deeper card. And I like the help hinder because it's a balance for me. You know, I don't like the word positive and negative so much, because help isn't always positive. If you've ever had a helpful friend come over and try to help you do something, and they got in the way more than they did anything else, you know?
Right.
So that's
right.
How I do those things.
Yeah, that's...
But yeah, I design a lot. I've I've got my fairy tale spreads that I've designed. I've got the writer stuff that I do. And then I do things as diverse as polyamory spreads, because sometimes it's not just about one love. So,
right. Yeah. Well, tell us about your fairy tale spreads.
I don't even remember why I started those, but I have the little booklet I have is 10 spreads, and I'm real upfront with it. 9 of them you can find on the web. There's one of them that is not listed on the web. It's only listed in the book. But they're about archetypes of fairy tales and dealing with that. If you read some of the Jungian folks like Maria von Franz, who studied with Carl Jung, she's part of his circle. One of the things she talks about was Snow White. The original version of Snow White, when the stepmother sent the girl out, she didn't ask for the heart. She asked for the lung. And it struck me that there's a point, even when we're close to our moms, you know, and I was real lucky. I was very fortunate to have a mom I was best friends with. But there's a point where you're breathing the same air, and it's like you're sucking the life out of each other. And that kind of, for me,
yeah,
was the theme of the lung in Snow White. You know, why she wanted that lung. She wanted her air back. She wanted her space back.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of the ways I work with Tara. I use the Big Bad Wolf as a business spread. It's about who's the Big Bad Wolf at work, and sometimes it's yourself.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
So,
do you ever use,
yeah,
do you use the inner child deck?
I do not.
That's a fun fairy tale book to use. A little gruesome sometimes.
Well, I'm working on a fairy tale Lenormand with Lisa Hunt. She's doing the artwork and I'm doing the book portion.
Oh, great.
Oh, it's
great.
Fun.
I look forward to that. We have Victoria. We only have about 2.5 minutes left. But Victoria, are you on the line?
I am on the line.
Let us draw a card for you. Like I said, we only have about 2 minutes left. But
okay.
I know you're from the gratitude group. So
yeah.
I wanted to be sure and fit you in. What can we do for you today?
You know what? I came out of a business meeting and I saw that I was late and I thought I'd just call in and just a reading. Did you need something specific?
No. Let me just go ahead and draw a card for you about where to put your attention for the next 24 hours.
Perfect.
Okay. And the card I got is chaos. And that is to look at how you can break down some of the old structures, or some of the old structures are breaking down very possibly as you came out of that business meeting. There were a lot of things, a lot of chaotic energy and ideas that came out of that. But remember, with the chaos card, there is that moment of sudden enlightenment as well. And in our deck, we have the fireworks up above instead of lightning. It's that celebration for the enlightenment that comes and getting rid of the old structures that we don't always need anymore, that seem to be the appropriate thing, but need to be broken down. Does that make sense?
You don't know how much sense it makes. The whole day was that way. This is so incredibly timely. Yeah, thank you so much.
You're welcome. And know that you are in the right space for that to happen. It's in cosmic timing. So don't get discouraged by it. Look for the opportunities in the chaos. Okay?
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You are very welcome. My next show is going to be on February 11th, and our guest will be Heather Mendel. She is an artist, an author, a mystic, and a speaker. She's from South Africa. She lives in the United States now. And she is a Kabbalah expert, so we'll be welcoming Heather next week. Arwen, are there any words of wisdom that you would like to leave us with today?
There are three. Seek joy, y'all.
Seek joy, y'all. Thank you so much, Arwen, for being on the show. And again, you can find Arwen at Tarot by Arwen, A-R-W-E-N. And if you're at all interested in writing, even if you're just interested in learning the tarot, I highly, highly recommend getting the mapping of the hero's journey and paying attention to that. It's a lot of fun, it's interesting, and you'll find out about yourself as we always do when we're writing. I want to thank Janet for being the producer for the show, and I'll see you all on February 11th. Good night, all.
Thank you for listening to Tarot of Empowerment. If you would like a tarot reading from Judith Salt, or if you have suggestions for a future show, contact Judith at judithsalt.com. That's Judith, J-U-D-Y-T-H, at Judith Salt, S as in Sam, U-L-T as in Tom, .com.